Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the afternoon kollel here at the Boca Raton Synagogue. You're already here, so you already knew that. Okay, so let's move along. Okay, topic, being that I'm a fill-in for Rabbi Goldberg, so just covering various topics in the 10th parak of Pesachim. Last time I chose mitzvot chavilas, bundling mitzvot, which, you know, has a place in the 10th parak of Pesachim, so choosing another broader topic, but again, has a place in the 10th parak of Pesachim, and that is brachas mukhla chavirta. When you have brachas that are next to one another. We have a rule, the Gemara and brachas and daf mem vav. I quote the Gemara brachas over here in the Mar Makom sheet. So we have a basic rule, and that is, the Gebraisa says, kol habrachos kulan, every single bracha, posech ben babaruch, v'chosem ben babaruch. So it opens up with the words baruch, and it ends with the words baruch. No, that's not true. Don't get me wrong. The Braisa says it. So, you know, the kulan, every single bracha. Now, it's not true. But before we get to the exceptions, in other words, the general rule. Okay, let's think about a bracha. Okay, the first bracha, benching. Good. Baruch atah Hashem, lokeinu melech haolam, hazanu saolam. So it opens up with the words Baruch atah Hashem. And then when you conclude the first bracha, benching, it says Baruch atah Hashem, hazanu sakol. Good. Beautiful. So it complies with the basic rule that it opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, ends with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. First bracha of Kriya Shema. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elkeinu Melech Haolam, Yetzer Hara V'Rechoshech. And then it goes on and on and on with Kedusha in the middle, and then Yotzer Hamaros. Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzer Hamaros. Good. So it fits into this rule of the Braisa, which is it opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem and it ends with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. And now there are exceptions to the rule. Like every rule. Every rule's got exceptions. So this rule is no exception. This rule also has exceptions. And the Braisa spells out what are some of those exceptions. So some of those exceptions says the Braisa, chutz, mibirchas haperos. Okay, a bracha that we make over fruit. And not just fruit also, meaning meat. In other words, all the brachas that we make before we eat. Birchas hanenin. Good. Ubirchas hamitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah is another exception. It doesn't open with Baruch and end with Baruch. Right? Le'esatev batzitzis. Le'al netilas lulav. L'shmoa kol shofar. So, they don't open with the words Baruch HaTah Hashem. They don't close. And then, also, another exception is Brachas Mukhla Chavirta. And not only that, but also, when you have a bracha followed by another bracha, followed by another bracha, so the subsequent brachos don't follow this rule as well. Now, in terms of them being exceptions, sorry, let me just read on. The final bracha of Kriya Shema, what we would call bracha emes v'yatziv in the morning, emes v'emunah in the evening. Some of them open with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, vein chosim b'baruch, but don't have a chasima, don't have a concluding bracha. Some of them have a conclusion but don't have an opening. And v'atov ha'meitiv posech b'baruch vein chosim b'baruch. Okay. And then I'll stop over there because Hatov Ameitiv, which is the reason why the Gemara over there brings it up, but right now let's leave it as it is. Let's go over now our basic rule. Our basic rule in terms of bracha is a bracha, by definition, should start with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, have some content in the middle, conclude with a chasima of Baruch Atah Hashem, and that's the formula for every bracha, with exception, Birchas Hananin, Birchas HaMitzvah, and Brachas Mukhla Chavirta. Over the course of this afternoon, I would like to focus on Brachas Mukhla Chavirta. Now, Brachas Mukhla Chavirta, we know many examples of them. Let's just cite a couple of basic examples. Benching. Benching is a wonderful example of Brachas Mukhla Chavirta. So we know that in benching we have three successive brachas. Now, what you should do is you should be correcting me and you should be telling me that we have four successive brachas. But as we will discuss later on this afternoon, the fourth bracha is external to benching. It is obviously part of benching now, but it's external to benching. So right now, for our purposes, let's call it three successive brachas. Every single time the Gemara refers to benching, it calls it gimel brachas because fundamentally benching is three brachas. Okay, that's one simple and very good example of Brachas Mukhla Chavirta. Another example that you're familiar with, that we're all familiar with, is Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei is a classic example of Brachas Mukhla Chavirta, where I have 18, now 19, right? Just a short 2,000 years. We added the 19th bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. So we have 19 brachas, and they are all successive. You open up with the first bracha, and then after the first bracha, now we go, every single bracha is a Brachas Mukhla Chavirta. Birchas Kriya, just, I know, we can go on and on. Birchas Kriya Shema, another example, Brachas Mukhla Chaverta. Meaning in the morning, we say two brachas before Shema. In the evening, we say two brachas before Shema. And then in the morning, we say one bracha after Shema. In the evening, we say two brachas after Shema. Okay, and then, right, and then more on top of that. But, okay, so in other words, more examples of Brachas Mukhla Chaverta. And what's the rule when it comes to Brachas Mukhla Chaverta? So I think we're all familiar. We all know that the rule by Brachas Mukhla Chaverta is that if I have successive brachas, it doesn't need to open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. Meaning you can go right into content and then close with Baruch Atah Hashem and then whatever the theme of that bracha was. What I'm going to discuss this afternoon is something very simple for something very straightforward, and that is, why? Why, when it comes to Brachas Mukhla Chaverta, why is it that we don't open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem? Why is it that because it's successive, and because it comes after another bracha, are we now allowed, are we afforded the opportunity to just skip the opening Baruch Atah Hashem? It's a simple question, but you're going to see that this comes down to Machlokas amongst the Rishonim. And what hopefully I can try to convince you this afternoon is that there may be a number of issues riding on this on the two ways of understanding. So first I'll present to you a Rashi in the Gemara and Brachos. Rashi in the Gemara and Brachos, again I quoted on this source sheet, V'yesh mem chosim v'lo posech, kegon brachas mucha chaverta. Rashi writes in Brachos the following. Sometimes it ends with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, but it doesn't open up with Baruch Atah Hashem. Rashi says the example would be Brachas Mukhla Chaverta. And look at the next words of Rashi, Sharei Kvar Pasach Bebracha Rishona. So Rashi says, and do you know why it doesn't need to open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem? Because we did that already in the first bracha. That's what Rashi writes. Okay. And then the next part of Rashi, for the time being, we'll gloss over that for the time being. So what is Rashi trying to say to us? Well, I know what he's saying, but what is he trying to say? I mean, Rashi's saying that in the Brachas Mukhla Chaverta, because the first bracha opened up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, so from this point going forward, every successive bracha gets a pass. If every successive bracha gets a pass, so why does it get a pass on the opening bracha? Why doesn't it get a pass on the concluding bracha? Meaning, what is it? What makes it that the first bracha kind of covers, and the first Baruch Atah Hashem of the first bracha covers all the successive brachas? Meaning, we understand what Rashi is saying, but what is that? What's behind that pshat behind of Rashi? If you take a look at Rashi and Pesachim, Daf Kuf Dalamid Beis, again, I quote on the source sheet, but this is now gives me the right to talk about it because this topic of Brachas Mukhla Chaverta comes up in the 10th parak of Pesachim, and Rashi in Pesachim is consistent. Rashi writes, V'yesh b'em shechosin kagon. Sometimes a bracha will end with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, but not open. Rashi says, like Brachas Mukhla Chaverta, Sharei, look at the way Rashi writes it over here in Pesachim, Potrasa Rishona Sheniftecha Bebaruch. You're putter. Right? You were Yotzei Zayin with the first bracha. The first bracha of the series started off with Baruch Atah Hashem. And so since it started off with Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzei Zayin, you're putter. Now again, I know what Rashi's saying, but what is Rashi saying? Why is the first bracha pottering you from all the successive brachas? Why should that be? Okay. I asked that question. I have a prepared answer. I have a prepared statement. But in the meantime, however, let's put in the veins for just a moment. We're going to come back to that, hopefully a good understanding of Rashi. But in the meantime, who's in support of Rashi? So the Rashbam, which is good because Rashbam is Rashi's grandson. And Rashbam learned together with his Zeta. And so the Rashbam writes, I quoted from the Tosfos HaRosh, right? Tosfos HaRosh in the Gemara in Pesachim. So he writes, V'yesh b'em chosim b'baruch v'em posech b'baruch, and the source sheet's on the second column, Kigon brachas mukhla chaverto, perish Rashbam mishum, depatarta harishona sheniftecha b'baruch. Literally the same words of Rashi, which is good. In other words, he learned by Zeta. Good. So the Rashbam and Rashi are in agreement with each other that for some reason, because that first bracha of successive bracha start off with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, you're good. for the remaining of the successive brachas, you don't have to open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay. And again, a better understanding of Rashi will come a little bit later on. Hopefully. Maybe. We move along, however, in the discussion, and we move to the Rashi's other grandson. Right, Rashi, one of Rashi's grandsons is Rashbam, Rashi Shmuel ben Meir, and then his brother, the baby of the family, is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, there were three successive sons born to Rashi's daughter. The oldest is the Rashbam, Rashi Shmuel ben Meir. The next one is the Rivam, Rav Yitzchak ben Meir, and the next one is Rav Yaakov ben Meir. But in other words, to call him the Rivam, we're going to confuse the second son and the third son, so we don't call him the Rivam. They're all three of them are the sons of Meir, obviously. And Meir was a son-in-law to Rashi. But we do famously is that we refer to the youngest one, Rav Yaakov, as Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, Yaakov Ish Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam says the following, and this is not the pshat that's offered by his grandfather, and he does not agree with his brother as well. And the Tosfos HaRosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, and he writes Rabbeinu Tam Pirish Dechasima Sarishona Havya Psicha Labracha Hasmucha La. What is Rabbeinu Tam saying? When I go on to successive brachas. So I start off with the first bracha. How does the first bracha begin? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Let's look at benching. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Hazanas Olam Kulo B'Tuvo. And then content. And then it ends with the words Baruch atah Hashem Hazanas Hakol. Rabbeinu Tam says, you know what we can do now? We can double dip. Oh, good. Perfect. Meaning, not only Baruch atah Hashem Hazanas Hakol, not only is that going to serve as the end and the chasima of the previous bracha, that will also be used as the opening bracha for the next bracha. That's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. I'll read it again. Chasima sarishona havya psicha lebracha smuchala. Oh, very good. And that means that according to Rabbeinu Tam now, it's a mere functional issue that I have. Every bracha needs to start with, open with Baruch Atah Hashem and end with Baruch Atah Hashem. In a series of brachas, you have it. Because you just finished saying Baruch Atah Hashem Hazanas Hakol, no delecha. Where's the bracha that, where's the opening bracha of no delecha? Rabbeinu Tam says Baruch Atah Hashem Hazanas Hakol. Good. That's Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of why it is a series of brachas. Each successive bracha doesn't, you need to open up with Baruch Atah Hashem, because really it does.
And what function does the Amen serve?
I'm going to, do me a favor, good question, I'm going to come back to the Amen later. Okay, I want to explain Rabbeinu Tam. Now, first of all, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't need much explanation, because it's pretty intuitive, it's pretty self-evident. Meaning it's a shita which is very well understood. The question is, how come it doesn't open Baruch Atah Hashem? The answer is it does. You didn't know where to look. You need to look at the previous bracha, see the end of the previous bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem. Oh, okay, good. That's where the opening is for this next bracha as well. But it is still strange, a little bit strange according to Rabbeinu Tam. How can I double dip? What gives me the right to double dip? Doesn't each bracha require its own thematic opening and closing? And Rabbeinu Tam says, and you could double dip. So I thought that maybe you can explain Rabbeinu Tam using a comment by the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch classically gives explanations behind the mitzvah, Tamei HaMitzvah, and the Sefer HaChinuch writes in the mitzvah, Taf Lamed, mitzvah as it relates to benching, he writes the following. I underline the parts of the Sefer HaChinuch that I would like to focus on. We're in the first column, we're in the, quoting from the Sefer HaChinuch, V'achar askar v'oda zula fanavanu mevakshim imenu masha anetzrichim daso slichala v'nasenu refu o'osher v'chol davar. After opening up the Shemoneh Esrei with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how great you are, and then we ask, V'chein achar v'akashim imenu anu chozim amodim alav b'zeh lomar ki mimenu yavo eleinu. And then afterwards, after we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything, so then what we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, thank you. Okay? The structure of Shemoneh Esrei, we're all familiar. Starts off with an acknowledgement, a recognition of how great God is, Shevach. Then a petition for everything we need, Bakasha. And then it ends with the thank you, Hodah. V'zu psicha v'chasima shel brachos. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, and by the way, that structure is true not only in the Shemoneh Esrei, it's true every time we make a bracha. Sefer Chinuch just basically takes that idea and just moves it over to every bracha. Don't think for a moment that we're just going to take without a ganav. And so therefore, what happens with every bracha is we open up with Baruch Ata Hashem, Shevach. There's content in the middle, Bakasha. And then we conclude, Hoda'a. The Sefer Chinuch says that's the structure of every bracha. That's why the rule is Baruch Ata Hashem, content, Baruch Ata Hashem. Sefer Chinuch goes on to write, we're on the next page, second page of the source sheet. Using this idea, writes the Sefer Chinuch, Shamati Shaskars Baruch Hu Adal Lefanav Abracha Shein Lo Vitzarech Lo Adas Allah Bezeh Betchila Hashelo Vesofa Lecho Yi Kevish And Atal Pras Meis Rabo Va'alach Bela Rishus Yatsu Lefi Das Achi Hachilukim Shekavalan Rabbe Zin Zichron Lavracha Binyan Abrachas Sheish Ma'em Posechus Ba'baruch V'choseb Gam Kein Ba'baruch. So the Sefer Chinuch writes, I'm sorry for reading quickly, but basically he writes, that's the idea behind every bracha. If the bracha has a request or a mention of a miracle, the eina smucha lebracha acheres, and it's not connected to any other bracha, posechus bebaruch vechosemus bebaruch kegon yotze or deshachris umariv arvis to arvis achayotze behem kamei matama niskar. Good. So that's the structure of every bracha. Like Shmon Esrei, open up with Baruch Ata Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shevach, you're great. Content, a request, a miracle, and then conclusion. And then the Sefer HaChinuch says, now what about Baruch HaSmuch LaChaverta? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, for all subsequent brachas, not the first one, but for all successive brachas, there's no need. Sha'arei mikeven shehoda v'nasan ha-memshala la'kel b'sofa brachas smucha l'zeh, because you just got done acknowledging Hashem in the previous bracha. V'lo hifzik achar hoda zeh b'davar katan o'gadol, and there's been no interruption. Ein roi lechpol hoda kabalas ha'adnos pa'amim pa'amayim bevasachas. There is no need now for you to open up the next bracha with Baruch Ata Hashem, because the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been covered at the end of the previous bracha. Like Rabbeinu Tam. Exactly. Meaning so that now what I can do, beautiful Sefer Chinuch, and now what I can do based on the Sefer Chinuch is borrow the Baruch Ata Hashem of the previous bracha. I've now acknowledged HaKadosh Baruch Hu how great He is. I didn't make a hafzik. I'm now starting a new bracha. So I already have that in place. Now I can go into content. Good. So Sefer HaChinuch, I'd like to line up together with the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam and the very nice Hashkafic viewpoint as well in terms of why it is that Bracha Smuch L'Chaverta does not need to open up with the words Baruch Ata Hashem. Okay.
Another question. Yeah. On Rashi and the Rashbam.
Yes.
Look at this word for if you only have two brachas, if you work in Twinness.
It worked? What do you mean? It was for
because the first bracha passes the second.
Right.
But the third and the fourth and the fifth doesn't have Baruch Ata Hashem.
I understand. That's why I'm going to hopefully in just a moment I understand Rashi is difficult, understanding Rashi is difficult. I'm going to say Pshan Rashi, hopefully a good one. I mean, we'll find out, we'll see. Okay. So what we have in front of us is the concept of Brachas Smuch L'Chaverta, and we know the rule is that every successive bracha does not need to open up with Baruch Ata Hashem, and the issue is why not. So for Rabbeinu Tam, I think it's clear. Hopefully I presented what is clear. For Rabbeinu Tam, you're just using the final bracha of the previous bracha, both as a chasima and as a psicha for the next bracha. Beautiful. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, and again, in the world of Hashkafa, it makes perfect sense. Because the whole idea is acknowledgement of Hashem and how great He is. Good, I have it. And now I can move on to the next bracha, and I could use that bracha for both the end of the previous and the beginning of the next bracha.
Does it have to be verbalized?
You are verbalizing it with the words Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam.
You don't have to verbalize again when you start the next bracha.
That's the whole chiddush of Brachas Melecha Chaverta. Good. Now, I do want to say the following, and that is I want to try to give a pshat within Rashi. Because Because it's pointed out, I pointed out, and Baruch Hashem, others pointed out as well, meaning in Rashi, what does it mean that the first bracha potters all the other brachas? Why? Why does it potter all the other brachas? I understand that, but the application is going to be true. I'm with you, but the application is going to be true for others as well. So I'm going to use a Rashi and Tzuvos to hopefully what I think is going to say, I believe is really the correct pshat in Rashi. Now, I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside and Tzuvos. You can look at it inside. I brought it down over here. You don't have to trust me. But but Rashi and Tzuvos deals with the following. Been to a wedding? I'm sure we have. I'm sure you've been more than been to a wedding. You made chasnas, so you know that the highlight of a chasna is the sheva brachas, and the sheva brachas. So you know by the sheva brachas, it's a little bit strange. Some sheva brachas, Berachat Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yotzer Haadam. What's the next bracha? Once again, Berachat Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Bara Lechvado. Okay. By the way, I just flipped it. I'm sorry. Right. Okay. Everything I just said, but just flip one and two. Okay, two is one. Okay, good. And then what happens from that point going forward? From that point going forward, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Yetzar Us Adam B'Tzalmo. Okay, that's bracha number three. And then four, five, and six, what happens? No opening of Baruch Ata Hashem. Ah. Okay, so why? Why is it? Here we have now a series of brachas. One and two, Baruch Ata Hashem. Bracha number three, Baruch Ata Hashem. And then four, five, and six, no psicha. Why? So Rashi and Ksuvas and Daf Zayin Amud Beis writes the following. I'll tell you why. Because really, bracha number one has nothing to do with the chasna. And really, bracha number two has nothing to do with the chasna. They're not part of the series. They come in for various reasons. Again, take a look at Rashi inside. I'm not going to go through it right now, but they come in for various reasons outside of the chasna. Only from bracha 3 and on, that's part of the series. That's a series. That's now the series of brachas. And that's why 3, then 4, then 5, then 6, the first bracha starts off with bracha tashem, but not all the other brachas. That's a Rashi and Ksuvas. What did we just learn from this Rashi? What we just learned from this Rashi is that when the Chachamim constructed a series of brachas, so basically what they all become is one total package.
They're related to each other.
They're all related to each other. They come as a package. And so therefore, even though they're multiple brachas, but they're all multiple brachas of one unit. And the first and the second bracha that we say at Sheva Brachos are not really there for the Sheva Brachos. Meaning, again, we call it Sheva Brachos because there are seven in total. But really, truth be told, Rashi says in the Gemara Ksuvos, one and two are not there for the Chasna. That's why the bracha that follows is not going to open up without a psicha. Because it's not part of the series. Only the brachas that are part of the series are included in this rule of bracha smuch l'chaverta. That's Rashi and Ksuvos. And now, without Rashi and Ksuvos, I think that's Pshat in the Rashi, both the Rashi and Brachos and the Rashi and Psachim. Rashi writes, now again, I know Rashi doesn't say this, but after learning the Gemara and Ksuvos and the Rashi there, I think this is what Rashi means. Rashi says, back in Brachos, I'll read the Rashi again in Brachos. The Rashi in Brachos says, Sharei Kfar Pasach Bebracha Rishona. Rashi says, you made Baruchat Hashem in the first Bracha. And the rest of the brachas are all part and parcel of the series. Right? It's a series of brachas, all connected to one another. And the first bracha, bracha Hashem, that covers it. Look at the Rashi and Psachim. Rashi and Psachim writes, Sha'arei potrasa harishona sheniftecha babaruch. You pottered it with the first one. Why did you potter it with the first one? You pottered it with the first one because it's a series of brachas. It's all connected. Okay, so I think that's what Rashi means. I think that's Pshat and Rashi. And so now from this point going forward, we have two basic approaches. Bracha smucha l'chaverta. Question on the table. Why? Why is it that every subsequent bracha does not require bracha to Hashem? So I'm offering now two pshatim. One pshat is Rashi. The pshat in Rashi, and again, I'm offering this pshat in Rashi. Rashi doesn't say it as glad as I'm saying it. But one pshat is Rashi, where Rashi says that the issue is that it's a series of brachas. So because it's a series of brachas, so really it's one long train But they're all connected, they're all related, and therefore you open up with Baruch Atah Hashem, that covers you for the rest of the brachas. Masha'inkin, according to Rabbeinu Tam, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is that the bracha that I use as a chasima can also be used as a psicha for the next bracha. Okay. I believe based on this, we can answer up a number of different issues that comes up on the topic of bracha smucha chaverta. Okay. We're gonna jump around a little bit. Turn to page number 3 in the handouts. Okay. Can I do the following? I would like to people travel, right? And the correct thing to do when you're traveling, especially on a long journey, is you make a tefillah. What is that tefillah? Tefillah Zederach. How does Tefillah Zederach open up? Yiratzon. It's odd. The bracha of Tefillah Zederach opens up with the Yiratzon and ends over the words Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Tefillah. Okay. Now, the rule is that every bracha starts off with the words Baruch Atah Hashem and ends with Baruch Atah Hashem. And Tefillah Zederach doesn't. And I don't have a good way of explaining why that is, but it is. It is so. Okay. So again, we can all theorize in terms of why it is, but it is. In other words, it's just an acknowledgement. It is. So let's ask ourselves now the following question. Let's say I'd like it. I'm uncomfortable with the idea that Tefillah Zederach doesn't have a bracha on the front. Can I make a bracha right at the front of Tefillah Zederach, and then use that bracha as a bracha in of itself, and also as a psicha for the Tefillah Zederach? I didn't think of this for the first time. You'll be happy to know this idea came up many years ago. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Yod. So he quotes the Maharam Mirottenberg. The Maharam Mirottenberg writes, Keshaya Yotze Lederach, he writes that when he would go travel, Baboker, Haya Omro Acher Yiratzon, Kedei Lahasmicha Lebirchas Agomel Chasadim, Vitiye Bracha Smucha Lechaverta. So what he would do is, when he would make the Birchas HaShachar, so right out, in other words, he would make sure to travel in the morning, he would make the Birchas HaShachar, and right at the conclusion, at the completion of Birchas HaShachar, he would then say the Tefillah Zederach immediately afterwards. That was the minhag of the Maharam.
Even though he wasn't really on the Derech yet.
Yeah, he wasn't on the Derech yet, but in other words, he traveled in the morning. Okay, but you're right. In other words, it would be after davening. But at least by doing so now he felt more comfortable because now Tefillah Zederach opened up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, and it closed with Baruch Atah Hashem. That's the suggestion of the Maharam. Controversial, not everyone agrees with the Maharam. Now, in Lamdus, what is the thought process behind the Maharam? Okay, again, it's not for me, I can only suggest. I don't know. But I'd like to suggest, however, that in Lamdus, the Maharam is following the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning, if you were to ask the question to Rashi, can you do this? Can you manufacture a bracha in front of Tefillah Zederach? Rashi would say no. Rashi says that the only reason bracha smucha chaverta doesn't require a psicha is because it's part of a series. And it's part of a series where the first bracha in the series had Baruch Atah Hashem, and then as every subsequent bracha has Baruch Atah Hashem. But if you ask Rashi, are we entitled to manufacture a bracha in front so that now we have a bracha smucha chaverta? Rashi would say no. Only if the Chachamim instituted benching 3 successive brachas, Shmon Esrei, 18 successive brachas instituted by the Chachamim, so Sheva brachas, at least, not the first two, but from 3 to 6, 4 successive brachas where the Chachamim instituted them to be said together. There, where the Chachamim instituted the series of brachas, the first one's going to pater all the subsequent ones. But from Rashi's standpoint, you can't manufacture a bracha in the front. I think, again, this is my suggestion, but I think if you asked Rashi, would he be happy with the minhag of the Maharam? I would say no. He wouldn't be happy with the minhag of the Maharam, because the Maharam is basically manufacturing a bracha in front of the Tfilas HaDerech. Now let's ask Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, are you okay with the Maharam? Now Rabbeinu Tam lived before the Maharam, but in other words, in Lamdus. Are you okay with the Maharam? Rabbeinu Tam would say, sure. Because from Rabbeinu Tam's standpoint, the Rabbeinu Tam theory of brachas milcha chaverta is double dipping. In other words, the idea is that because I just ended with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, the next bracha doesn't need to start off with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. So if I ask Rabbeinu Tam the question, can you manufacture a bracha smucha lechaverta? Rabbeinu Tam would say, sure, no problem at all. And I think he'd be comfortable with this minhag of the Maharam. Okay. Next.
A lot of people are saying about Shmuel.
Huh?
A lot of people are saying that.
Correct, because of this issue. Okay. This is a question which Tosos asks, which, quite frankly, if you never thought of the question, when I first thought of this question of Tosos, it occurred to me like, I should have come up with this question on my own. What's the formula for every bracha? The formula for every bracha opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Okay? And not only is that the formula for a bracha, but it's the basic requirement. Meaning, a bracha is not a bracha until it has both shame and malchus. Okay, good. It resonates. Okay, I hear people heard this before. Yeah, good, because that's a Gemara. The Gemara says that a bracha needs shame and malchus. I'm going to ask you, good, you thought of it also. I kick myself for not thinking of it. Right? The beginning of Shmona Esrei, the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. How does it start? Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and you can keep going on. The first bracha of Shmona Esrei doesn't start off with shame and malchus. It's weird. How is it a bracha? It's a minimum requirement of every bracha to have shem and malchus. So oddly enough, the Gemara never asked this question. So it's a straightforward question. Tosus asks this question, and on this Tosus offers a couple suggestions. Okay, Tosus is on Mem Tesam and Aleph and Brachos. Tosus asks, "Ube brachos shel yirches brachos kulam smuchos lebrachos kel chai v'kayam." Okay. Tosa says that the bracha shel yidches, the bracha Shmona Esrei, starts off with kel chai v'kayam. E nami elokei Avram hainu malchus. Ki da'amrina mishenivra ha'olam lo haya adam shekaru lakosh baruch hu adon ad sheba Avram v'karu adon. Shenemar Hashem Elokim mati tein li. Tosos gives two suggestions in terms of where to find the missing shame and malchus for the beginning of Shmona Esrei. Let's go over Tosos. Let's go over both answers of Tosos. What's the first answer of Tosos? First answer of Tosos is you can look and you'll never find it. Where's shame and malchus? Tosos writes smuchos abrachas kel chai v'kayam. What does he mean by that? What's the bracha before Shmona Esrei? The final bracha of Kriya Shema. And it ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. So in Tosus's first answer, Tosus says, do you know where you're going to find the Shema Malchus? You're going to find the Shema Malchus before Shmona Esrei with the words, by the way, I was about to say Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, but that's not going to help you. Because Baruch Atah Hashem is only shame. There's no Malchus. So what do you got to do? You got to keep going back. Go back to the beginning of the Brachas Kriya Shema. The beginning of Brachas Kriya Shema. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yotze Or Uvarei Choshech, Ose Shalom Uvarei Sakol. And then you go weiter. So first, Tosus's first answer is that you're not gonna find in the Shmona Esrei itself. Shame and Malchus is the first bracha. You go all the way back to the beginning of Birchas Kriya Shema. Okay, yeah, that's interesting. But then Tosus gives a second answer. What's Tosus' second answer? You're right. It is there in Shmona Esrei. You got to look harder. Look again. Look again, the first bracha, Shemoneh Esrei, and you're going to find it there. And Tosfos writes, it's going to be found in that first bracha. He says, Tosfos, again, I'm rereading the Tosfos, Inami, Elokei Avraham, Hainu Malchus. The Elokei Avraham, that's an allusion to Malchus, and he quotes the Gemara, Mishinivra Olam Lohay Adam, Shekala Kadosh Baruch Hu Adon. No one referred to Kadosh Baruch Hu as the master of the world, Ashaba Avram Bekara Adon. Avram called him the Adon. So Elokei Avraham is encryption. It's code for Melech HaOlam. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. That's your shame, Berchat HaShem. Elokeinu Velokei Avasein, Elokei Avraham. That's your Malchus. That's Tosos. Okay. Those are your two answers of Tosos. Again, in the world of Lamdus, I'd like to suggest that these two answers of Tosos are really riding on what's going on behind Brachas Mochel Chaverta. Because again, how do we present Rashi? How did I present Rashi? I presented Rashi that the Brachas Mukhal Chaverta is based on the fact that the Chachamim established a series. Shemoneh Esrei is a series. And because it's a series, the first bracha has Shem and Malchus, and then from that point going forward, it potters the rest of Shemoneh Esrei. Oh. So if you're holding like Rashi, you'd much prefer the second answer over the first answer. Because you would like the first bracha of the series to have Shem and Malchus. So, again, my suggestion would be that the second answer of Tosfos fits in much better with Rashi. If, on the other hand, you're like Tosfos, for Tosfos, what's the issue? The issue just simply is that every bracha needs to have an acknowledgement and every ending has to have acknowledgement. So, as long as you can link it back, so the truth of the matter is with Shemoneh Esrei, okay, there's no Shem and Malchus in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, but it connects to the previous bracha, which connects to the previous bracha, which connects to the previous bracha, and it goes all the way back to the first bracha of Kriyas Shema. I know that was a long time ago. In our minyanim, not so. But I know that was a long time. I know that was a long time ago. But for Rabbeinu Tam, as long as I have a bracha to connect it to, and as long as I can double dip, so you can take it all the way back. You can take it back to the brachas of Kriyas Shema. Okay, very good. So maybe these two answers of Tosos also is riding on how to understand Brachas Mukhla Chaverta. Okay.
Question.
Yes. Well, I was expecting the question, but not Mar. You don't mean Mariv. I mean Mariv. You do have the Brachas. Okay, No. I understand that, but I was gonna. Can I feed you a question? Meaning good, but mincha.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're good. Mincha is a strong question. Meaning for Tosus, the second answer, we're good by mincha, because it's encrypted. The Shema Machus is encrypted in there. But according to Tosus' first answer, it only. Now it's like that's a good question. Now according to first Tosus' first answer, it works for Shacharis. It works for Mariv. You have Shema. You have Birchas Shema. But for mincha, you don't have it. Yeah, how is Tosfos' first answer going to work for Mincha? Okay, that's a checkmate. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, one more topic we're going to cover today on this Brachas Mukhla Chaverta, and with that we'll end for today. And that is the following. Something strange happens at the end of benching. Not at the end of benching, but towards the end of benching, and that is that we say Amen. To our very own bracha. Sure. Bonei Baracham of Yerushalayim, Amen. Good. We're all hardwired. So we know to say Amen to our very own bracha. Now that's unusual because the Gemara says that you should not be saying Amen to your own bracha. You answer Amen to somebody else's bracha. Right? I was about to quote a Gemara that just escaped me for the moment. But Havu Godol Elokeinu, how's it start? Kishem Hashem Akra. Thank you. I kickstarted myself. Kishem Hashem Akra. V'godol Elokeinu. Right, when I call out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so V'godol Elokeinu. Ascribe greatness. You hear somebody say Shem Hashem. What do? You answer Amen. Okay. So the Gemara in Bracha says that you should be answering Amen to your to somebody else's bracha, not to your own bracha. And meanwhile, the Gemara also says that when it comes to the end of benching. And I don't really mean the end of benching, because there's another bracha at the end. But when it comes to after the third bracha of benching, you say Amen to your own bracha. See the Gemara inside? It's on page 3. Tenichad ha'on amen achar berchasav harizim. Meshubach answering Amen after your own bracha. That's wonderful. V'tanyid achar harizim meguna. And then the other bracha says it's terrible. So wonderful or terrible? Which one? Lokasha Abba Bani Yishlaim Haba Shar Brachos. When it's Bani Yishlaim, you should be answering Amen. When it's Shar Brachos, you should not be answering Amen. Adkan Divrei HaGemara. That begs the question, what is that answer of the Gemara? What's the difference between Bani Yishlaim and all other brachos? Bani Yishlaim, you should be answering Amen to your own bracha. Congratulations. What does that mean? So if you take a look at Rashi over there, writes, Shaya Sof HaBrachos. Oh, that's an important Rashi. Rashi says, you know what's significant about Bona Yerushalayim? It's the end of a series. Hareza Meshubach. V'chein b'sof b'rachos d'kriyashma. Shachris v'arvis. V'achar kol b'rachosav d'ktani b'brais. Hareza Meshubach. Achar gmar kol b'rachosav kamar. The way Rashi understands the Gemara beautifully is that when you have a series of brachos, and you're concluding a series of brachos, you need to be answering Amen. Bona Yerushalayim, Bona Brachim of Yerushalayim is just an example. But every time you finish a series of brachos, you need to be answering Amen. You need to be answering Amen. You need to be answering Amen after a series of brachos. Acher gmar kol brachos kamar, v'acher kol brachosav diktani areza meguna, b'soch kol brachu bracha kamar. However, after an individual bracha, you should not be saying Amen to your own bracha, but rather after a series of brachos, you need to be answering Amen.
But we're not saying
Shmoneh. Well, I'm not right now. Wait. Hold it. Two things. I'm just explaining the Gemara Lefi Rashi. In terms of Arminug, I'll get to that in just a moment. Okay. Now, understanding Rashi a little bit better, I think we already have clarity on Rashi's position. Meaning, when a person makes a bracha, I should be answering Amen, right? Shema Shema Krav Ugodel Elokeinu. Good. I heard somebody else making a bracha. Amen. I don't want to let that bracha just stand there by itself. I'm in agreement with that bracha. But when you are making a series of brachas, so what did Rashi say? What did Rashi teach us earlier? And again, I inject the Pshat in Rashi, so I get some of the fault or credit, whichever way you want to go. But in other words, what Rashi is saying is that when you have a series of brachas, the Chachamim established that really it's one whole unit. That's why you only need to start off Baruchat Hashem once at the beginning, and it potters the rest. Because it comes as a series, it's whole one whole unit. And what do you want to do when you get to that end of that series? You want a period at the end of a series. Because it's not one bracha. It's two brachas. It's three brachas. In the case of Shmoneh Esrei, it's 19 brachas. So you want to punctuate the end of the brachas. How do you punctuate? Amen. Amen becomes a punctuation at the end of the series of brachas. Meaning, it's the same word amen, but it's not the classic sense of, you said a bracha, I'm going to answer amen. Here, it's a series of brachas, and I'd like to signify that we've ended the series. We end the series by saying Amen. That's Pshat and Rashi. And that's beautiful. Meaning, because it fits in with the way we said Rashi earlier. That when you have a series of brachas, the first bracha potters the rest because it's a series. And then when you conclude the series, what do? You say Amen. Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. Now, as noted, that's not our minute. By the way, just as a parenthetical note, I know we all know this, but I'm just chazering what we already know. There is another bracha that comes after Bona Berucham of Yerushalayim Amen. I told Berchas Atov Ametiv. The Gemara tells us that bracha was added later on. That's a later institution in benching. That's not part of benching. It is part of benching, just not min haTorah. Okay, I'm sure we knew that. Okay, our minhag, however, is not to do that. Now, by the Sfardim, by the way, for those of you who ever daven by the Sfardim, they say Amen after a series of brachas. Right? After Yishtabach, they end Yishtabach, they say Amen, because that was a series of brachas. Two brachas, but series. Two is a Shmoneh Esrei. And when they finish a series of brachas, they answer Amen. The only exception by the Sfardim is brachas Kriya Shema, because they don't want a hefsek between Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. But the Sfardim do exactly what Rashi over here describes. We don't follow Rashi, which is unusual because we're Ashkenazim, as is Rashi. We don't follow Rashi, and we don't follow Rashi because of the Tosos. Look at the Tosos over there. Haba Bona Yerushalayim Haba Shar Brachos. Perish Rabbeinu Chananel, V'alachas Gedolos, Yesh Mefarshim, B'chol Bracho Bracha, K'gon Acha Yishtabach, V'chayotzei Bo. So Tosos says, some people say the Pshat in the Gemara is, it's a little unusual, by the way, because Rashi said it, and I don't know why Tosos over here quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, but okay, neither here nor there. He says that, when you're finishing a series of brachas, so you should be saying Amen. Good. And that's what Rashi says, Pshat in the Gemara. Umihu. But Tosfos says, Pok Chazi Mayama Davar. Go around, look around, see what people are doing. Shalom Nagulanos Amen Ela Acher Bona Yerushalayim Debir Chas Amazon. The minug of Bnei Ashkenaz is not to do this. But rather, the minug of Bnei Ashkenaz is just after Bona Yerushalayim. But for the rest of the series, we don't do that. Tosu says we don't do it.
But why is
it? Oh, so why is it? So I'm going to suggest, and again, yes.
The question I have is, we do it, Osa Shalom, looking after Elokim at the end of Shemona Esrei, Osa Shalom Yom Rav.
But we don't say Amen.
We ask a Shalom on Yom Israel, Amen.
Okay, but... but that's not...
The question I have about Marge is it seems to include some of these things.
Okay, I understand. I'm with you. I'm just focusing on this one particular point. I think, again, I'm going to make a suggestion. You can take it or leave it, but I think what's behind Minhag Ashkenaz, meaning, again, we have a wonderful pshat in the Gemara. Rashi gave a wonderful pshat in the Gemara, and we don't follow it. Why not? So maybe, and again, maybe it's because, remember, this issue of Brachas Mircha L'Chaver really has two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is that it's really it's one long series, and we start off with Baruch Atah Hashem, and we end off Amen because we want to show the beginning, we want to show the end, and show it's a whole series. That's Rashi's way of understanding it. But remember, Rabbeinu Tam didn't buy into this. Rabbeinu Tam says it's not the pshat isn't that it's a whole series of brachos. It's a bracha followed by another bracha, followed by another bracha. And why is it that I don't have to open up the every successive bracha with the words Baruch Atah Hashem? Because I'm double dipping. Because I'm just using the chasim of the previous bracha for this bracha as well. That's Rabbeinu Tam. And now I'd like to suggest that if you're following Rabbeinu Tam, so then it's not, we're not saying it's a series of brachas, we're just simply saying it's 18 brachas in a row. It's benching, it's 3 brachas in a row. Now again, granted the Chachamim instituted them, but from a lambda standpoint, it's not one whole unit. And so maybe if we're following Rabbeinu Tam, so maybe you can offer a suggestion. Maybe the pshat would be that according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's why when we get to the end, we're not going to say Amen, because it's not like Rashi, not like it's a whole series and it's all one unit, but simply because it's one bracha followed by another. And the only reason why I'm not saying a bracha at the beginning of every one is because I'm double dipping from the previous bracha. Maybe we're not. In other words, we don't do it for anything other than Bona Bracha Mavishal. Okay, so I. Okay, yeah, it's the only one. It's the only one, and maybe it's the only one to show the difference that these are the Daraisa and that's the Rabbanan, and maybe there it comes for a specific purpose. Maybe. Okay, so let's just conclude. Let's wrap it up. Let's organize what we saw so far today on the topic of Brachas Mircha L'Chaverta. So I suggested really two schools of thought in terms of why every successive bracha doesn't open up with Baruch Atah Hashem. So Rashi's pshat, which. Again, it's me injecting a little bit into Rashi, but Rashi's pshat is that it's a series, and because it's a series, the first bracha is the opening of the series, but really it's a whole series, and that's why every successive bracha doesn't need to open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, as opposed to Rabbeinu Tam, where basically you're double dipping from the end of the previous bracha to the beginning of the next bracha. We explained the Rabbeinu Tam using the Sefer Chinuch's idea in terms of how this impacts and affects. So number one, can I manufacture a bracha smucha l'chaverta? The Maharam says yes. I suggested that falls more in line with Rabbeinu Tam's understanding than Rashi's understanding. Number two, where is the missing Shem and Malchus in the beginning of Shemona Esrei? Tosus asks this question. Tosus gives two answers. I suggested that maybe these two answers are riding on the two schools of thought. Do you need to answer an Amen at the end of the series? Rashi says yes, based on the Gemara and Brachos. Tosfos says we don't do that. Again, maybe that Machlokus is also riding on that. And I'll just add one last point, one very interesting point at the end, that also may be riding on these two schools of thought is as follows. Now it's funny, I asked the question and we all know the answer, but in Lamdus, you could certainly make an argument. Let's go back to Sheva Brachos. As we pointed out, from Bracha 3 to 6, it's a series. Can I give those brachas to different people? Good. We do. Can I give those brachas? I'm just going to repeat the question. That's all I'm going to do. Can I give those brachas to different people? So... first of all, right. So the Shevet Levi Rav Vosner, I found this is in this part of researching this topic. So he says Hinei Be'Iker. I'll read this quickly. It's very interesting. Hinei Be'Iker Zayin Brachas Reita Gimel Menhagim Yesh Makpidon Lavar Kulam Adam Achal Sadrum Zecher Zeh. So Rav Vosner writes that there are those who have the minhag of only one person saying them all. I know in our circles that's like blasphemy. It's trouble, right? Alakos. And two times I said he was by the Rav Chaim. So the Hikpid, probably it's not describing Rav Chaim, probably Rav Yitzchak Zev. Oh, anyway, one of the Soloveitchiks, the Hikpid Kfimin Hagam Shivarech Adam Echad Kulam, and the Soloveitchiks were Makpid that only one person should make all Sheva Brachos. Okay, Minik I know. Oh, it was one person. Oh, okay, good. Minag sheni shemechalkim sheish brachos echad ubracha achritos shnei kevin shelafamim mevarchim rakosa. Some do the first six by one, and then the bracha achrita by another. Umenag shlishi b'dor acharon uksas lefneze lechalik kulam mitame kavod. And then a modern minhag is to separate the brachas and hand them out to different people because we want to be mechabe different people. Good. Over Sefer Achronim. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Okay. And those are the various minhagim. Now again, in lumdus, meaning okay, the Rav Osner points out that there is a minhag, and good, and it's been established that people have seen it that it only should go to one person. So again, now. One could make a suggestion that this issue of can you break it up to different people may be riding on this very topic. Meaning if the whole idea of Brachas Mucha L'Chaverta is it's a series, it's a unit. It's really one, it's just subdivided into different parts, but it's really one series. So then maybe you can make an argument that really only one person should be making all the Brachas. Right? Shmona Esrei, one person's making all the Brachas. Right, the chazan, and okay, you can make that argument. Masha Ein Kein, if the issue is just simply all I need to do is just borrow from the previous bracha, so then okay, there was no hafsek, although a sheva brachas there usually is, but there's no hafsek. We just finished the previous bracha. Okay, somebody else can go ahead. It's a technicality, and we fulfill the technicality, and somebody else now can make the next bracha. So maybe this issue also would be tola on how to understand brachas mucha l'chaverta. Okay, Adkan, stop over here.